Good morning and welcome to worship this second Sunday after Pentecost. I direct your attention to the announcements in the bulletin this morning, as well as a reminder that we have our congregational meeting immediately following worship this morning. At this time, let us begin our worship together, confessing our sin and receiving God's forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose steadfast love is everlasting, whose faithfulness endures from generation to generation. Trusting in the mercy of God, let us confess our sin. Reconciling God, we confess that we do not trust your abundance and we deny your presence in our lives. We place our hope in ourselves and rely on our own efforts. We fail to believe that you provide enough for all. We abuse your good creation for our own benefit. We fear difference and do not welcome others as you have welcomed us. We sin in thought, word, and deed. By your grace, forgive us. Through your love, renew us, and in your Spirit, lead us, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life. Amen. Beloved of God, by the radical abundance of divine mercy, we have peace with God through Christ Jesus, through whom we have obtained grace upon grace. Our sins are forgiven. Let us live now in hope, for hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. God of compassion, you have opened the way for us and brought us to yourself. Pour your love into our hearts, that overflowing with joy, we may freely share the blessings of your realm and faithfully proclaim the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. A reading from Exodus. The Israelites had journeyed from Rephidim, entered the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness. Israel camped there in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the Israelites, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession out of all the peoples. Indeed, the whole earth is mine, but you shall be for me a priestly kingdom and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the Israelites." So Moses came, summoned the elders of the people, and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. The people all answered as one, "Everything that the Lord has spoken, we will do." The word of the Lord. Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles: first Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew; James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John; Philip and Bartholomew; Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector; James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus; Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for your journey or two tunics or sandals or a staff, for laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who in it is worthy and stay there until you leave. As you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it, but if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. Truly, I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. See, I am sending you out like sheep into the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of them, for they will hand you over to councils and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings because of me as a testimony to them and the Gentiles. When they hand you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you at that time. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all because of my name. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next, for truly I tell you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. The Gospel of the Lord. For our children's time this morning, I'd like for us to think about parts of the two readings we've just heard. In our first reading from Exodus, God reminded the people of Israel how much God loved them, that God chose them to be his special people, people whom he would love and through whom he would love the whole world. And then in our reading from Matthew, Jesus chose 12 of his friends, all very different from one another. Yet he chose them to be united in their cause to go and share God's love, God's message, and God's healing and hope with the world. God chooses you and me as God's children through holy baptism. God claims us and God reminds us how much God loves us and that no matter how different we are from one another, we are special to God, and we are chosen as those sent to share his good news and love with others. Let us pray. Oh God, you make us your children through baptism. You remind us how much you love us, and you send us out to love others. Help us to feel your love this day and to share it with all whom we meet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In our Bible studies this past Wednesday via Zoom, we spent a good deal of time talking together about this gospel lesson. One of the things we focused on in both sessions of the study was this: to what extent is this passage prescriptive for us? That is, Jesus sent out the 12 to proclaim the kingdom of heaven was near, to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. How much, if any, of that applies to you and to me today? I imagine part of the reason we ask this question has to do with the fact that we may be uncomfortable with the implications of being sent to do these strange things. Who among us wants to interact with lepers? Who among us wants to deal with demons? Who are we to think we have power over sickness and even death itself? So we may wonder, are Jesus' words here just for those 12 who were sent out? Did Jesus' words only apply to that time and place in first century Israel? And more than that, do his words apply to us as well? Does his command apply to us? Or are we off the hook? Now, the 12 here are referred to as both disciples, those who follow Jesus, and as apostles, those who are sent out to share in his mission and ministry. Although the Greek word apostolos, from where we get our word apostle, most basically means one who is sent as a delegate for another. In the common usage, our term apostle has been applied to those who lived at the same time as Jesus and who were specially designated by Jesus as the first witnesses of his resurrection. And so in that sense, in the strict sense, you and I are not apostles in the same way. We are not firsthand witnesses to the life, ministry, passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus. So it may seem at first that we're off the hook, that we're not called to follow in the footsteps of those 12. We might begin to breathe a sigh of relief that we need not go heal the sick, raise the dead, or heaven forbid, cleanse the lepers, or cast out demons. But not so fast. We confess in our Nicene Creed that we believe in and are part of one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. The Catholic part we know means universal or worldwide, but what does it mean to be part of an apostolic church? In one sense, it means to be part of a church that traces its lineage back to the apostolic witness. Peter and Andrew and James and John and Mary Magdalene and the other men and women who served as apostles, who passed down the truth of the gospel to you and to me. They proclaimed Jesus' life, death, and resurrection to us. We inherited this faith from their original witness. In another sense, though, an apostolic church is a church that is sent out as a delegate for another. We ourselves are compelled in mission. We are not just here to receive without cost, but to give without cost as well. We don't just gather here for fellowship, we also get sent, strengthened by the Word of God and the sacraments of Holy Baptism and Holy Communion. We're sent to share what we have received with the world. That sense of mission, of reaching out to the ends of the earth with God's good news, that's part of the apostolic witness that Peter and Mary and the others shared with us. In fact, they took for granted that the church would always be looking outward and moving outward and reaching outward with the love and mercy of Jesus Christ. That is, after all, what the church is. Those gathered into Christ and those sent out to gather more in from all nations. We are an apostolic church, not just one founded by apostles, but also one sent into the world to witness and share Jesus' love. We saw one manifestation of this aspect of the church last week in Jesus' Great Commission from Matthew chapter 28, when Jesus sent his disciples into the whole world to baptize and preach to the ends of the earth. That task seems so large and overwhelming, doesn't it? To the ends of the earth. Some days I'm not sure we have what it takes to make it to the other side of the street. And so this week we should take comfort that we hear not about the Great Commission, but rather this so-called limited commission. Here Jesus doesn't send the 12 to the ends of the earth. He doesn't send them to the Gentiles. He doesn't even send them to the Samaritans. He starts close to home. Go only to the lost sheep of Israel. The truth of the matter is, there is always plenty of gospel work to be done close to home. So since we are an apostolic church, a church sent out to share God's love, where might we start? Close to home. Start close by. Who are the lost sheep of our own place and time? Who are the lost sheep of our own hometown? Who are the lost sheep in our neighborhood? Who are those in our walks of life, in our daily dealings, whom Jesus would look at with compassion and say, they're like sheep without a shepherd? Who are those whom we know, whom Jesus would look at and tenderly say, these ones are harassed and helpless? The mission of the 12, the mission of the church, the mission you and I share, this apostolic mission. It's grounded first and foremost in the compassion and love and mercy of Jesus for this world. And our first step in being apostolic, our very first step in being sent out, is to begin to view the world through this lens of Jesus's compassion. That may be enough of a start for this week. I think I could end the sermon here, and some of us would have our hands full and our lives full this week, learning to view the world and our neighbors through the lens of Jesus's compassion and love and mercy. So if you're a note taker or looking for a bullet point to take away, write that down. Choose this week. Pray this week about seeing the world through the eyes of Jesus's compassion. And that may be a great enough start for you and me. But Jesus gave the 12 apostles further commands. He told them to go and cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. What would those things look like for this apostolic congregation to engage in? What would it mean for those of us who are sent out? How would we do these things? Cure the sick. That could mean make burdens easier for others to bear. There is, of course, physical healing. Some of you are in the healthcare field each day, and you do that work every day. Well done. Keep it up in the name of our great physician, Jesus Christ. But we all play a role in helping to heal, not just bodies, but also souls and minds. We can lift up others, give them a well-being that is more profound than the mere relief of physical symptoms. I think about the cards, the acts of kindness, the phone calls and texts, the visits of compassion, the meals and gifts and care that you all are so good at sharing with those in need. Go this week and cure the sick. Raise the dead. That might mean give hope where all hope is gone. It's not hard to find places like that in the world these days, is it? But you may be the answer to the prayers of many. Go and raise the dead. Give hope. Give help. Give comfort. Go like Ezekiel did to that valley of dry bones and say to people who feel dried up and withered, hear the word of the Lord. Just listening to your neighbors in need can bring new life in surprising ways. Go and raise the dead. Cleanse the lepers. That may mean risk associating with those who seem to be other or those who are considered unclean. I'm not suggesting you go to the hospital and enter a COVID-19 ward and start shaking hands. But our society is in great need of cleansing. We begin to see new light being shed on injustice. We begin to see that there are some in our midst who live as lepers in their own towns and communities. We can begin to make space for these folks to truly live as part of the community. Cleanse the lepers this week. Cast out demons. That may mean to make room for Christ in places where his love is unknown and unwelcome. The demons of this world like to get a foothold wherever they can. Part of our task is to banish those demons so that God's love and light and truth can shine through. Cast out demons this week. The harvest is still plentiful, friends. All these centuries and millennia later, the harvest is plentiful. Our world is aching right now. People are hurting, and not just out there, not just overseas, not just at the ends of the earth, not just in desolate places, but in your places, in our neighborhood, in your workplace, where you rest and play, perhaps even in your own home. Begin to look at these people and these places as worthy of Jesus' compassion and your compassion. See them through the loving eyes of Jesus and begin to reach out to them with the loving hands of Jesus. God is calling you. God is choosing you. God is sending you this week to go and proclaim the good news. The kingdom has come near. Go to your own and labor this week. The harvest is indeed plentiful. And the workers are you. Amen. Let us confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. called into unity with one another and the whole creation, let us pray for our shared world. Holy One, you bring us together and call us your own. Bless theologians, teachers, and preachers who help us grow in faith. Guide your church that we might be a holy people. Hear us, O God. Holy One, the whole earth is yours. Where there is fire, bring cool air and new growth. Where there is flooding, bring abatement. Where there is drought, bring rain. Inspire us to care for what you have provided. Hear us, O God. Holy One, we have created divisions you will not own. In places of conflict, especially in our own country and communities, raise up leaders who work to develop lasting peace and reconciliation. Encourage organizations and individuals who care for all who are forced to leave their homes. Hear us, O God. Holy One, you care for those who are harassed and helpless. Protect and defend those who are abused. Heal those who are sick. Feed all who hunger. Empower all whose voices go unheard. And help us to respond to the pressing needs of our neighbors. Hear us, O God. Holy One, you provide a plentiful harvest of gifts and resources. Prepare us to labor and gather the fruits of this congregation that we might discover new ways of living. Minister to us in our work so that we do not lose heart. Hear us, O God. Holy One, you bring all people to yourself. We give thanks for the holy people who have gone before us. Sustain us in your mission until the day you bear us up to join the saints in light. Hear us, O God. Receive these prayers, O God, and those too deep for words, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Invite you at this time to wave to one another in cars or use this moment to send a quick text to someone who can't be with us today, offering them the peace of the Lord. This time I will trust and hope that you can text and juggle communion at the same time. Let's begin our meal together. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It's indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Take and eat. This is the body of Christ given for you. Take and drink. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. God of the welcome table in this meal, we have feasted on your goodness and have been united by your presence among us. Empower us to go forth sustained by these gifts so that we may share your neighborly love with all through Jesus Christ, the giver of abundant life. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Thank you. Go in peace. Christ is with you.